This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. As high school seniors put the finishing touches on their college applications this month, they might want to focus on more than grammar or on all those extracurricular activities.
Right. You might want to take a closer look at your Facebook page or your Twitter feed, your Tumblr, Instagram, Flickr, Pinterest, any and all of the myriad social media profiles popularly used by teens.
Because according to a recent survey by Kaplan Test Prep, nearly one-third of college admissions officers say they visited applicant social media sites. That's a 5% increase over the previous year. And about a third of those admissions officers say they found something that negatively affects the applicant's prospects.
So, as if there weren't already enough things to worry about when it comes to college admissions. Now, there's this. But social media presents a particularly thorny problem because, first of all, it's ubiquitous in teen culture. It is a part of their world and their language. Second, it's also a place where savvy users can positively distinguish themselves through social media campaigns, for example. So joining us now to talk about the benefits and drawbacks when it comes to social media in college applications is Seppi Basili. He is vice president of Kaplan Test Prep. Seppi Basili, welcome to you.
Thank you, Meghna.
We're going to talk to a high school guidance counselor and vice president of enrollment at a local college in just a moment as well. But first, Seppi, let me ask you, tell me a little bit more about what you found regarding how frequently or not colleges use social media as part of their applications process.
Well, it's interesting. We've been doing an annual survey of college admissions officers for the past 5 years, and there are a number of questions that we've asked every year. And what we've seen is an increase, and this year was, I think, the single largest jump of college admissions officers saying that they had looked into a student's social media presence, whether that be looking at their Facebook page or Googling them, and it was a significant jump. And you know, from our perspective, we certainly want to make sure that students and their parents are aware of that kind of issue. We want students to be aware that their digital footprint is something that lives with them. But we also want to point out that the majority of folks who went on did not find anything negative. However, a third, so if you kind of do the math, about 10%, did say they found something that negatively impacted a student's application.
Now, how deeply are they looking? Is it sort of for a certain number of colleges, it's part and parcel of the admissions process, or is it sort of on a case-by-case basis admissions officers decide to take a cursory glance at a Facebook profile, for example?
It seems like, again, we do this as a phone survey, and so in the interviews, it was coming across that it's much more on a case-by-case basis. And, one of the things that I like to point out to parents is, this generation of college applicant is applying to college with a resume. And when you look at those resumes, they're pretty deep. They're rich. I mean, these students have, built schools in Central America. They've started environmental programs in their hometowns. And so to me, it's not surprising, and it's kind of rather human, that folks might want to pursue or find out more information about a student.
Right. Now, this issue of social media and college applications comes to us through a very interesting article that we saw in the New York Times. So a tip of our hat to the Times on that one. But they also, in that article, sort of gave us some examples of the worst case horror stories, right? I mean, they had a story from Bowdoin College where a prospective freshman was tweeting very unflattering things about other people that she had met while on a visit to Bowdoin College, and that was frowned upon. And then there were, other examples of Facebook profiles where students had some rather unsavory things on there, and that didn't look so good when college admissions officers found them. So I mean, it sounds like it's rather happenstance at the moment, but when it can go bad, it can be really bad because the information, no matter how private people think it is still fairly easily available.
Well, I think that's right, and I think the information is less private than we realize, even though there are privacy settings in Twitter and Facebook, for example. Keep in mind another point, because I think sometimes we forget this, but colleges are also always looking at their own social media presences, and I think many times they've stumbled upon these kinds of situations because they've been reading about their specific college and what someone may have said on social media. So it may not be that the admissions officer was looking you up. You could be collateral damage, so to speak, or collateral, the opposite of that, something positive pop up because you mentioned the college. But I think that's a really important point to highlight.
Now, let me ask you, Seppi, you work for Kaplan Test Prep, so you're in the business of getting kids ready for the big push when it comes to getting into college. From the perspective of the college and the admissions offices themselves, are you seeing them as viewing social media as sort of an undiscovered frontier in terms of what they can find out about the, you know, thousands, in some cases tens of thousands of applications they get every year?
Well, again, I think it really becomes a little bit of a case-by-case basis. I'd say this, that, you know, the era of being able to get an interview with a student, you know, very, very few colleges now are able to offer interview programs. More have alumni interview programs. And so I think it's another way to round out the picture of an applicant. It's been my experience and in my conversation with admissions officers that, you know, particularly at some of the smaller liberal arts schools where they can take more time on applicants, that doing this kind of research seems to be more natural into that process. So I do think it's a trend that's only going to continue. And again, I feel like it's a very human response. As we all become more comfortable with these technologies, it will continue to happen. And I'd also say that it was great that you ran down, Meghna, a list of sites, but I thought of Snapchat and Vine, for example.
Yeah.
That 6 months were not in my lexicon.
Right.
And so as technology moves so fast and kids are early adopters, I think this will only continue.
Well, that's Seppi Bazili. He's vice president of Kaplan Test Prep, a group that has recently done a survey of college admissions officers about how much they look at students or prospective students' social media sites when it comes to the college admissions process. So, Seppi, stand by because I want to introduce a couple other people into the conversation. But before I do that, let me throw out the number because, listeners, do you have any questions about the use of social media when it comes to college admissions? Do you worry about what's on your Facebook or Vine profile? Or do you think social media is yet another way for students to possibly distinguish themselves when it comes to getting into college? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Well, let me introduce now into the conversation Lenny Libinson. He is the chair of the Brookline High School Guidance Department, and he joins us now in the studio. Lenny, welcome.
Thank you.
Also with us is MJ Noel Finn, Vice President of Enrollment at Emerson College. MJ, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so Lenny, let me start with you because you're on the student end of things. How often do you talk to students at Brookline High about what's on their social media profiles?
We do have several guidance seminars where we talk to students about college. And it's not just college. It's also career plans because we talk a lot about college in this program, but a lot of kids are applying for jobs afterwards. And mm-hmm. The online etiquette is for all aspects of the after-school life. So say you're applying for a job, it's important to have a clean cyber profile too.
Right. And so what do you tell them in particular? Like, what are the do's and don'ts?
We start with the email because that's what, even if the college admission or prospective employer is not going to Google you, they will see your email most likely. So a lot of the 16, 17-year-olds have a funky email that make them very popular with their friends.
I see.
You know, something like triplecrazy@hotmail.com. We tell them, the first thing I tell them is get a regular email that will be your first name, last name, and start with that.
Okay,
and
so something as basic as the name in your
basic
email account. And I imagine that it gets even more sort of in-depth after that because, you know, what about photos? I mean, we're just talking about Snapchat, which is ostensibly something that's supposed to disappear after,
yeah,
you know, 6 to 30 seconds or so. But you tell them to look at every aspect of all of their social media profiles and sort of cleanse them?
Well, I mean, it's hard to keep track of all the new things that are coming up, but we do talk about Facebook and making sure the stuff that needs to be private is private, and then also making sure that you have a you censor your Facebook account and
right,
remove.
Well, MJ Nolfin, you're vice president for enrollment at Emerson. How much does Emerson look to social media to help better understand the pool of applicants that come to you?
Sure. Well, you know, it's funny. We don't necessarily look at it as we're reviewing applications, although absolutely what everyone has said so far, particularly if we're tipped off to something or if a student they're in our social media space, and so we start to see their profile, often it will come to the fore, but we don't have a policy. We get over 8,000 applications. There's no way we could be checking everybody's social media accounts.
So if you get a tip, you might look into something.
Yeah, absolutely. We might look into it. And again, you know, keeping in mind that we're talking about 17-year-olds for the most part, and so we do our due diligence. Sometimes they say not so nice things about us. Sometimes it's things about other students, or it can be other kinds of what you might consider to be inappropriate behavior within social
media.
Well,
let me ask you about that, because like you said, 17-year-olds, so technically they are underage, and does that present a problem for you as the official of a university to be like, I'm actually not sure I want to know what's
right?
in their profiles? I mean, because, you know, if you find something that's potentially questionable, do you have an obligation to report it?
That's right. Absolutely. I think you nailed it. We don't necessarily want to know. They do so much work to present themselves, and social media is this fine line between your private and personal, and sort of, you know, a lot of what's happening in the high school students' world is they're trying to learn and grow by making mistakes at times, and we don't always want to know everything. There are lots of good people who are working directly with them to help them traverse that world.
Okay. I've got a couple more questions for you, but we've also got some callers here, so let's get them in while we can. Phil is calling from Newton. You're on the air, Phil.
Hi. Yeah. I'm a 20-year-old college junior, and for me, my question would be that, especially on the admissions side, knowing that, you know, teenagers at this point, everyone or pretty much everyone has a social media presence, and everyone or, again, pretty much everyone is going to be doing something at some point that a college is not exactly thrilled about, aren't there points for honesty if a student isn't, you know, and I say this from the experience of when I applied for school, I was one of the only people at my high school who wasn't changing his Facebook name, who wasn't changing his blog or his Twitter, and it just seems strange to me that there wouldn't be an acknowledgement that everyone has them and there's always going to be something on them. So at least acknowledge that these people, you know, are hiding it.
Hmm. Phil, really interesting point. Let me turn that to Seppi Bazilia at Kaplan. I mean, what do you make of the fact that Phil says, hey, look, it's there, it's part of our world, we shouldn't be bothered by it, and, you know, let the admissions officers look at it?
Well, again, I think it's a very healthy and smart perspective. I also think one of the things that we found is that most colleges don't have a policy on the use of social media, and I think that allows for the kind of leeway because, again, students are 17, and they may be putting information up there that may not put them in the best possible light, and I think it's interesting that schools don't have specific policies. I think it'll give them a lot more leeway when there's a challenge. Mm.
MJ, let me turn sort of a version of this issue back to you, because I wonder if social media actually presents an opportunity to colleges that you didn't have before, because it ostensibly is a space where teens are their open, free, and complete selves, that, you know, if you had the right technological tool to harness that, you might be actually able to get a fuller picture of who these people are who want to become part of the Emerson community, for example.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And we encourage students to point us to social media. They often, we're a creative school, we're arts and communication, so students are creating all kinds of interesting work and putting it on YouTube or on any of these other sites, and we encourage that. I think where the fine line gets drawn is if they're the interpersonal part of social media, the piece where, you know, you're having relationships with friends and family members, and I don't always want to know everything about a student. I want to know what they're presenting, just as I would about you. You know, I don't need to know everything, but I want to know the things your front-facing person.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as there isn't anything completely egregious in there, and of course that's when we're doing a little more research and due diligence, because students are becoming a part of our family and our community. All our freshmen live on campus. And so it's not just about the educational component of higher ed. It's also, you're going to live here with us. And are you the kind of person we want to be a part of our community here?
Would Emerson be interested, say, an enterprising young startup came to you and said, we have created an app that you put in the names of your applicants. It will scour the internet and social media websites and, you know, flag things that come up, and you don't have to worry that there's 8,000 or 15,000 applicants. It'll be done in a touch of a button. Would that be of interest?
Not to me right now, no. No, I feel like we have enough, and the application process is extremely thorough. Anyone who's gone through it, you know this. We're asking for recommendations, and yes, you are creating it, but at this point, it's almost like asking to listen in on all your private conversations, and somebody's going to somehow find a way to tell me everything that I might not want to know.
Well, Lenny Libinson, you are the chair of the Brooklyn High Guidance Department, and the point that MJ made, I want to ask you about, because you're dealing with these students. They are who you work with every day. When they find out that social media might be yet another thing that they have to groom and maintain for public presentation to the adult world, is it something that do they like that idea, or they just feel like it's an imposition upon a world which is very much theirs and for themselves and their peers alone?
I don't think they have any problem of opening another account or cleaning up the account they have. I mean, they live in it. They didn't know the world without it, unlike me. So it's not a problem for them at all.
And so have there been specific times where you've had to address a particular Facebook posting or well, I guess in Twitter it's already out there as well. But when you've told a student, you really should take this stuff down, and have they usually responded well?
I don't look at my students' Facebook accounts. I just don't want to see what's out there. I don't look at their lives outside of school. It's what's in school that's what matters, and we teach them to be respectful to others and use the same principles in their outside life.
Megan, could I jump in there also?
Sure, MJ, and then Seppi, go ahead after that. But MJ, go ahead.
So sorry. I do want to say that Lenny was saying earlier that he does talk to students about looking at their social media presence, and I have to say, as much as I don't want to see everything, just like everything else, I think students do need to understand that as you walk into the world of a much broader place, like applying to college and meeting other people, that you do need to think about what it is you're saying about yourself out there. So I don't want it to sound as though we don't care at all, but to do anything technical to find out as much as we could about them, I'm not that interested in.
Seppi Bazili, go ahead.
Yeah, we found in our survey, we've also completed a survey of students, and interestingly, students were overwhelmingly unconcerned about what admissions officers might find, and I wonder if students may be ahead of all of us in this conversation. Maybe they've been quicker to figure out the privacy settings, or maybe students are, getting, I think, particularly wise about what their presence looks like. I hope so, anyway.
So let's, on that point, let's take a call from Jennifer, who's calling from Littleton. You're on the air, Jennifer.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I am an alumni interviewer, and I would say that just like any new technology, whether it's Facebook or Twitter, a tool can be used for good or can be used for bad. And hopefully the student is using it in the right way. And I have occasionally gone out just to kind of broaden the picture of the prospective student that I'll be interviewing, just to get a better sense of him or her. And I would say that I've done the same thing. I liken it to LinkedIn, where if I have got a meeting with a prospective client or a colleague, I might go and look at their LinkedIn profile to get a better sense of who I'll be meeting with.
Now, Jennifer, let me ask you. So you're an alumni interviewer, and I hear it says for Tufts University. Is that right? Is looking at social media profiles, is it sort of part of what they ask the interviewers to do in advance of talking to prospective students?
No, I would say that there's no definitive guideline one way or not. I mean, what they are looking at is for us to kind of round out the overall application and fill in some of the blanks and give them that interpersonal connection that may be missing when you, fill out an online form. As one of the other speakers mentioned, there aren't really on-site interviews anymore. So we are the, face-to-face interaction and being able to somehow convey that student and whether or not we feel they'll fit into the overall environment in the community, and if it's a right match is what we need to relay back to
Jennifer,
the office.
Jennifer, before I let you go, one more quick question, because this is so interesting to me. Do you have any sort of set of personal tools on what to do if you see something that does raise flags for you? Because the other major minefield in social media is that it's very hard to determine the veracity of claims or statements, good or bad, that are made out there on Facebook at all.
That's an excellent question, and I would say that it hasn't come up yet, so I've been fortunate that I haven't been put in that position. I would say that I probably wouldn't, unless it was something that was so egregious and it looked like something that was threatening to do harm, I wouldn't call it out specifically. Mm-hmm. I would just factor it into my overall impression of the student.
Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for your call. In the last minute or so that we have, Seppi Bazili, let me ask you, you've done the survey nationwide, and you say you saw the biggest jump from this year to last year in terms of the number of college admissions officers reporting to you that they are occasionally looking at social media profiles. Do you think that this is like a one-time jump, or are we seeing sort of the beginning of a long-term trend of this becoming a new tool for various, to be used at various degrees various degrees by different colleges and universities?
I do think it's a new tool that will continue to be used. And I think, as MJ pointed out, and certainly I mentioned, colleges are also really monitoring their own presence in social media, and that's often how this is coming up. And as students, want to profess that they're first choice is a school like Emerson, which would be incredibly exciting, they're going to be writing stuff, and I just think it will keep coming up more.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's Seppi Bazili. He's vice president of Kaplan Test Prep. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Lenny Libinson, chair of the Brookline High School Guidance Department, thank you so very much for joining us as well.
Thank you.
And MJ Noel Finn, vice president for enrollment at Emerson College. Pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much for your insight.
A pleasure to be here. Thanks, Megha.
And listeners, we've got a link to that New York Times article that got us thinking about social media and college admissions. It's at our website, radioboston.org. Well, stick with us because coming up, are you already sick of all the pressure and commercialism of the Christmas season? Well, then you'll love Aaron McKeown's Anti-Holiday Spectacular. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.